Devatanupassana Sutta, the contemplation of dualities. I have heard that on one occasion the Blessed One was staying near Savatthi in the Eastern Monastery, the palace of Megara's mother. Now on that occasion, the Uposatha day of the 15th, the full moon night, the Blessed One was sitting in the open air surrounded by the community of monks. Surveying the silent community of monks, he addressed them. Monks, if there are any who ask, you are listening to teaching that are skillful, noble, leading onward, going to self-awakening is a prerequisite for what? They should be told, for the sake of knowing qualities of dualities as they actually are, what duality are you speaking about? This is stress. This is the origin of stress. This is one contemplation. This is the cessation of stress. That this is the path of practice leading to the cessation of stress. This is a second contemplation. For a monk rightly contemplating this duality in this way, heedful, ardent and resolute, one of two fruits can be expected. Either pronounces right here and now, or if there be any remnant of clinging, sustenance, none return. That is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one will go, the teacher said further. So, Buddha first divide the four noble truths into two. The first part is that suffering and then the origination part. The suffering part and the origination part is the one part. And then the cessation of suffering and the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So another part. So there's a duality over here. So the two parts. So if someone, the question is that this listening to teaching, these skillful, noble things, and it's a prerequisite for what? For what thing that we actually listen to this Dhamma? And this is for this understanding the duality, that there is this such a thing. So if someone practicing, you know, someone understanding these things, then he either become a non-returner, anagami, or he will attain arahantship straight away. And then Buddha said further, those who don't discern stress, what brings stress into play, and where it totally stops without trace, who don't know the path, the way to the stilling of stress, lowly in their awareness, release and discernment release, incapable of making and end, they are headed to birth and aging. But those who discern stress, what brings stress into play, and where it totally stops, without trace, who discern the path, the way to the stilling of stress, consummating their awareness release and discernment release, capable of making an end, they aren't headed to birth and aging. So Buddha said that in Pali it is really nice. You can see dukkhana pajana ati atto dukkhasa sambhavam. So if someone does not know about that suffering and what brings into the stress into play, how the suffering occurs and where it ends, then if they do not know the path, since they do not know this, that they do not have this awareness release, that is the Cheto Vimukti, and discernment release, that is Panya Vimukti, that since they do not know, they can't actually end any of these birth and aging. But if they do know that one, they can end the birth and aging. So Buddha said this one in short format. As you can see, this is the Four Noble Truth, and if you look at the Four Noble Truth, it is really, really big. And Buddha said that the path leading to the cessation, the path leading to the cessation of these things is the Eightfold Path. So you can see, if you divide it into two columns, one part that lead to suffering, the other part does lead to the cessation. So that means, if you take the part that leading to the cessation of suffering, that is the Eightfold Path, against that one, there is this wrong eightfold path. So if you look at the wrong eightfold path in the that diagram that I gave, it is starting with this the wrong wheel, and yes, there are two diagrams. The one starting with the wrong wheel. So that part you can see, this whole diagram describe the one part of the duality. That is, that we have first wrong view, and then the ill will and covetousness. Those are the things that we do by our mind, those actions of the mind. The wrong view, ill will and covetousness. These are kulakusal, and actually there are these 10 of them. So 3 from the mind and 4 from speech, lying, harsh speech, frivolous talk and slander. And then from the body you can see that killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Those are the 10 unskilled states. And since we have these 10 unskilled states, and then you can see they lead to this wrong view, wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness and wrong concentration. And that is the context of this discussion about the suffering and the origination of suffering. And this is how the suffering has come to arise. And so you can see there are links in the wrong view. And if you look at the Petakopadesa, and it explained that covetousness as mental misconduct assist the bodily action consisting in taking what is not given. So you can see the straight away this diagram was constructed from this book, the content from this book. It says this, the covetousness lead to the bodily action consisting in taking what is not given, stealing. And it's all the speech action anchored thereto, namely false speech. From the covetousness, you get false speech. False speech that denies actually, denies reality and what is. All contempt and domineering. You know that Makko and Palaso that we learn? All occurring from the covetousness. So the mental part of the Makka is contempt is translated over here. In the other diagram, you can see it's a different thing written. That we have written that one as derogation, and then the palazzo as disparaging, and this book is translated as makko as contempt and the domineering. So you can see that they are all linked. They are all linked. Covetousness linking to these things. And covetousness as a root of unprofit. In the case of the corresponding good conduct, the good conduct is the choice of abstention from false speech, from taking what is not given, and from the covetousness itself. And again, ill will as mental misconduct aids the bodily action consisting in killing, breathing things, and it aids all that verbal action consisting in refuting by dragging to and dragging fro and jolting up, malicious speech, harsh speech, all that come from ill will. So you can see the covetousness lead to this false speech, and then the contempt and domineering things, and ill will lead to this the malicious speech and harsh speech. And then the wrong view as mental misconduct give purpose to wrong view, covetousness and ill will. So wrong view is the biggest because it generates, it gives rise to the ill will and covetousness on its own. Is all given being by wrong view. It is for this reason that wrong view aids misconduct in sensual desire. The speech action it aids to gossip. So gossip is occurring from the wrong view. So you can see these 8, you can see the wrong view, wrong thought, to wrong concentration.
Gossip occurs because of the wrong view. That's because we don't believe on the Dhamma. Is that the wrong view?
Yes, yes. For example, because of the, you might be describing a part of a body. This body is such and so, right? So you can see what is it. It is just something subject to suffering, aging, and there's nothing in it. Somebody is describing these things. So that is, you know, the frivolous talks about those things. And these frivolous talks go further that if you false speech, harsh speech, and slander, those three is actually called moha, delusion. And the delusion construct, the delusion leads to the frivolous talk. So moha lead to that. And this eight, from wrong view to wrong concentration, you can see the wrong mindfulness and wrong concentration. These eight are called any kind of evil, eight wrongnesses. That means you can do any evil things because of this eight. And because of this eight, now you can see there is another part of the diagram that it leads to delusion. Wrong view is delusion over there, moha is there. And they are a link that harming thoughts and sensual thought and ill will thought, all those things are there because we know that wrong action is killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. And you can see how they are linking to delusion, lust and hate.
So delusion is ignorance here?
Is moha. Moha. Ignorance lead. Ignorance, as you can see later on in this discourse itself, Buddha says moha is the same as ignorance. But there is a possibility that you can actually distinguish the two in terms of characteristics. The ignorance does not allow one to penetrate, and you cannot go back. Remember, ignorance is about those 12 vipallas and the perversions. So you cannot penetrate and see this thing that's happened to me is happened because of the my grasping, you know, that I'm having these wrong perceptions about this is fair, asubha is subha, this is pleasurable while it is suffering. So you cannot penetrate and go back and see this is the cause of that one when you have the ignorance. And the delusion, on the other hand, it hides these details in the sense that you misunderstand the object of the contemplation, the whatever the thing that you see, you mistake that object. The other one is not allowing you to go into the root of that one.
So delusion, singardham is?
Moha.
Both moha.
No. The delusion is moha. Ignorance is avidya. Yeah, single term is avidya. The Pali is avidya. So you can see. So this part actually describes the one duality, that the suffering and origination. Now this is how the origination. When you have these wrong things, wrong view, ill will, covetousness, lying, harsh speech, they are called dasa akusalas, 10 unprofitable things. So these 10 unprofitable things are the ones actually led to this suffering thing because we go in the wrong path. And for the good side, you can see the flip over to the other diagram, which start with the right view, sammaditti, and non-ill will, non-covetousness. Refrain from lying, refrain from harsh speech, refrain from frivolous talk, refrain from slander, refrain from killing, refrain from stealing, refrain from sexual misconduct. If you have those 10 skill things, that means you give up those 10 bad things and you establish your mind to have these good 8, good 10. If you do that, then you can see they are linked. For example, you get the non-delusion amoha from the right view. Also, if you are not doing frivolous talk, that is again linked to this non-delusion. If you have moha, then you have frivolous talk. If you have amoha, you don't have it. So if you are refraining from that one, then that is linked to amoha. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? If someone is not describing some stupid thing as a good thing, even a food, for example, or this is tasty, this is good, and that one, for a person who has not even tasted and known that one, that person wouldn't go and try and get into that trap. So it's from these frivolous talks that it's happening. And again, you can see the non-covetousness lead to non-greed, aloba. And also, harsh speech and the slander, they are normally leading to the hatred. So if you are refraining from those harsh speech and slander, then you get the non-hatred, adosa. And I have left out the refrain from sexual misconduct over here because there are so many lines going in. Otherwise, this refrain from sexual misconduct should go one line to non-delusion, amoha, and another line to non-greed. Because that when you have sexual misconduct with greed and moha both. So, this is the good side. When we have this good side, then you get the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. So, you can see the aloba, dosa, moha, or non-delusion, non-greed, and non-hatred led to the Eightfold Path. And in the Eightfold Path, you can see that non-hatred, for example, link into that virtue path, that is right speech, right action, right livelihood. And the non-greed will have right thought as well as the right concentration and also the right effort. So they are roots. You know, these are roots for the Eightfold Path. So it is really important if you can remember that if someone asks about the non-delusion, where it is linking to Eightfold Path, you can say right view and the right mindfulness. So the view and the mindful, right view and the right mindfulness are based on this non-delusion. And virtue path, you can always remember, is something to do with this adosa, non-hatred. And then the non-greed, you can see right thought. For example, if thought of renunciation you have, you are happy to renounce because you don't have the greed. And also, the right effort. Right effort means that effort to discard the evil that has arisen. So those evil things are the sensual desires and all those things. I don't want them. I'm happy to give up. So you can see the linking. And in the concentration also, right concentration, you can see that I don't want these sensual pleasures, I'm not happy with that one. So I'm actually going into the concentration. So remember the terms that we are getting out of those, I don't have an initial application, sustained application to those sensual things. I will have the initial application, sustained application to the renunciation. So you can see the non-greed lead to right concentration. Thinking this way will allow you to go through the Eightfold Path meditation. If you are skilled in the right view and the right thought, establishing them, and through this non-greed, you can see you are going to the latter half of it. You know, in the middle and the end of it.
Non-delusion is based on right mindfulness
rather than right. Non-delusion is
based on the right mindfulness.
Okay, that is actually a bit lengthy. We will be coming to that one later on. That when you talk about that 40 parts, because of the right view, you are simply saying that you are you understand in the Four Noble Truth. So when you understand the Four Noble Truth, that you know that it is, this is the craving will create this particular suffering for me, and I am happy to give up the craving. So when I'm saying I'm happy to give up the craving, that means I am not taking these things as mine. So since I am not taking those things as mine, I am not making my making, so I am not going into the third one, that is this the mental volition as the nutriment. I am not going through that path. I am preventing, you know, myself going through that path. Since I am not going through that one, I am not constructing from my volitional formations a consciousness, and I know the impermanent nature of this consciousness, so therefore I'm not going to the moha delusion. That one is the seventh link in that, the consciousness one, the fourth path. So we will come back to that one. It's detail. It's that detail. So this is
path is Dukkhapatipada, that
Sukhapatipada Kippavinya. Yes. So that argument the Dhamma over here we are talking about is leading to this. When we have the right view, then we are in the third one. You know that I have a sort of a good view that these things are not mine. These things are not for me. You know, this will create trouble for me. So therefore, I'm happy to give up. So you go through that. And when you go through that one, you dilute this, you know, the thing that you assign, the weights that you assigned to your mental volition, to dilute it. You know, the lust for the volition is reduced, and therefore it's going to the, I'm getting rid of these things. So basically we are not trying to go through the third and the fourth lines in that diagram. So this is the this is the path. You can see that Buddha is talking over here. This can be explained in many different ways. You can explain this one in many different ways. If you take Sammaditti Sutta in middle and saying, so this is one, and another one is the Four Noble Truth itself. And then you can go through the they are equivalent in terms of the right view. But this is the biggest and the strongest about the Four Noble Truth.
This path is originated from the right view,
mm-hmm.
and then again going back to right rightful path. And
yes.
So that tells us that right view is the most important point we need to make or break through.
Yes.
To get to the correct path.
Mm-hmm. Also, left hand side always think that, you know, the leftmost column here, think that one as what you heard from the Buddha.
Mm.
Buddha told you, do this. Do not do the other ones. Refrain from that one. Okay? And then, having heard, you have the faith, you establish upon that faith, you give up those things and you maintain the right, you know, this column. So this is going from left to the right. Because if you haven't heard this, you cannot maintain that one. Even you hear that one, if you don't have the faith, you wouldn't go into that side. So that's the first one. And then that's the first gatha. Now, if there are any who ask, would there be right contemplation of dualities in yet another way? There would be. They should be told. How would that be? Whatever stress come into play is all from acquisition. As a requisite condition, this acquisition is upadhi. We will explain what upadhi in a little while. As a requisite condition. This is one contemplation. From the remainderless fading and cessation of that very acquisition, there is no coming into play of stress. This is a second contemplation. For a monk who rightly contemplating this duality in this way, heedful, ardent, slowed, so two fruits can be expected as before. Either one become a never return, or one will attain Nibbana. So here in the duality you can see only two things. In the previous one you can see there were the suffering and the cause of suffering to one side, and then the other one is the cessation and the path leading to cessation. Over here there is only one, is acquisition in one side and then the fading and cessation of the acquisition. That is what the Buddha said. Having said, the one will go on one. Teacher said further, the manifold stresses that come into play in the world come from acquisition as their cause. Anyone not knowing this creates acquisition. The fool, he comes to stress again and again. Therefore, discerning this, you shouldn't create acquisition as you contemplate birth as what brings stress into play. This is the Upadhi Nidana Pabhavanti Dukkha. This gatha is explained in Chula Nidesa as well. And it says this Upadhi, that is acquisition, are tenfold. Well, the acquisition, you know, the word acquisition meaning, you acquire certain things. When you go through the definition of this Upadhi, you would understand what it means. And so there are 10, I will tell the Pali words over here. One is the Tanha Upadhi, Ditti Upadhi, Klesha Upadhi, Kama Upadhi, Duscharita Upadhi, Ahara Upadhi, Patika Upadhi, and then Dhatua Upadhi, Chatasa Padinna Dhatua Upadhi, Ajjattikani Ayatanani Upadhi, Vinyanakaya Upadhi, Sabbampi Dukkam Dukkamattena Upadhi. So there are 10. So what are they? First one is this Tanha Upadhi, we know the craving. And second one, Ditti Upadhi, that is views, acquisition of views. Klesha, defilements. Kamma, that is, you know, kamma, we understand kamma. And next one is nutriments, ahara. And the whole diagram will come to play in that one, ahara. And the patika, you know, patika, we have this dosa because of the anger, we have patika. And then four great elements, they are upadhi. And internal elements, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind. And from those six elements, you can see, we see the other objects, sight objects and so on. So that they are actually vijnana kaya. Vijnana kaya, that is this consciousness, six kinds of consciousness we get. Having seen a form from the eye, eye consciousness come to your eyes. So since there are six of them, you can put it to one body, vijnana kaya. And next one is the suffering. You can see the birth, aging, all those things. There are 12 terms over here. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, all those things. So, Buddha said because of this Upadhi, because of this acquisition, we get this suffering. If there is no acquisition, there is no suffering. Now, we can actually look at that this 40 paths here. So, you can see the first unprofitable direction here is that the physical nutriment or the kabalikara ahara. And because of the physical nutriment, that this is the food, for example, you can see this is the food. There are nutriments. And you can see not only the food, it is that all of us are included in this category. And because of that, we get this perversion that there is fear in the foul. Asube Subanti Pallasu. So we pursue these things. You can see if you take these 32 parts of the body, one would regard this one as fair. But if you look little bit deep inside the body, you can see, you know, the hair of the body, nail, teeth, skin, flesh, all those things, and excrement, urine, and those other things inside. So you can see the foul nature, but one would say that's fair. One would see. Clinging, so because of that we cling to sensual desire. And since we cling to sensual desire, the bond of sensual desire come into play. That means we are happy because my food is good, or the person I look at is good. I am happy to live in this world. That's what it is. I'm happy to go by all these suffering things, going to work, you know, say there are 8 hours or whatever inside, while outside it's sunny. All those things that one would be happy to do, so that there's bond of sensual desire. It's called Kama Yoga. And there's the body type of covetousness. Abhijja Kaya Granta. Covetousness we just touched upon a little while ago. And there is this taint of sensual desire. Kama Asra. Now between that body type of covetousness and the taint of sensual desire, you can see there is called something called tendency. You know, we have this tendency to attachment, lies latent in the pleasurable feeling. So there is this tendencies over here. And so we will get the flood of sensual desire. And now this one is now increasing. And I cannot bear. It's like this is like a flood. You know, flood is coming up. And so I get the barb of lust because of that. Raga sal. And at that time, my consciousness get hold of the form. The form is the physical nutriment. Because we start with the physical nutriment that I eat or see. And I'm so into that thing, and my consciousness get hold into that form. And because of that one, we are going bad way through will. We are happy to come back to this world. We are happy to come back to this world again and again because of this. And so because of that, there will be birth. And if you are not happy about the physical nutriment over here, you won't be born here. Will be born, you know, in the Brahma world where they are not eating this kind of thing. And what do you get when you have birth? You see, the when there is birth, there is sickness. There is aging, there is sickness, and then comes death. When there is death, you can see, when you pass away, you are sort of being a mind-made body. Unless you go into hell or, you know, the animal realm as quickly. So you can see, you have the pain. So the birth, and you can see the pain, because that pain is that after death, in my mind-made body, I see other beings, my friends, my relatives, they're all eating. They're living in a house. And I used to live with this sort of a body. I don't have one anymore. And this create the pain for your body. And this is the mind-made body. And then that leads to the pain, because of pain, there is this displeasure as well. And then it goes through, and then we come back to distress. So these three are occurring.
When you say that, it reminds me that when the kids are young, they can't sort of express their views. When somebody is eating something, that they
yes.
do the things in their mouth, yes. they want it, but they can't help with that.
That's right. Yes, yes. It is happening. They are very upset about it.
Yes.
So we can see. So what then happened over here? We were talking about physical nutriment, and then that led to birth, aging, sickness, death, and the whole thing. So any of these Dhamma inside over here, you can see when we look at this description, well, when we say physical nutriment, then we get the four elements. And when you're talking about the craving and the sensual desire, you can see there's a craving. And in between, you can see the body tie of covetousness and the taint of sensual desire, flood of sensual desire. They all pleasure, defilements. So these upadhi are actually these 40 inside, 40 plus more. What are the other one? You can see the birth, pain, distress, all included. All the 12 parts are included of suffering, included as well. And also, you can see, there is this vijnana, consciousness parts, whatever the things that's coming from consciousness. So, all the 40 plus these 12 Dhamma parts. We are fortunate to have this Mahabrahma Sahampati explaining to us these. From the first one, we get the birth, pain, distress, and the, from the second one, age and displeasure, separation from what is pleasing, and so on. And also this, you know, the musava, the parts that we took, they are all included, because if you say idam saccha vinivesa kaya krantha, in the fourth one you can see, we'll say the bodhitaya of insistence that this is the truth. So, when what are we saying here as the truth? We are saying musava, the, you know, this, the lying, all those things as the truth. And so that's, you can see, these, if you understand at one of these things, then you can understand what Buddha said. Buddha said, these are the upadhi, or the acquisition. These are acquired, because didn't we actually acquire this bond of sensual desire, the body tie of covetousness? All acquired. Having acquired them, we are coming to this birth, aging, sickness, death, and all those things.
That's how have you acquired it?
By your, first, for example, if you have the food, you eat them. When it is tasty, I'm happy with that one. And I am, because of that one, I am happy to live. I hold the future at that time in the sense that I take that one thoroughly. That I want to eat them. I want to live with that one. So this, because there are two things over here, actually three things. One thing is that the taste is there. Because of the taste, that you construct your things as before, or you feel because of the taste buds of the tongue. That's one thing. When you see some person who is so beautiful, and then again your eye goes with, so there is a sensitivity. So the there is a feeling of the eye with that one. The consciousness come to arise. So we establish those things that way. And in short, if you are explaining those things as three things, you can see, if you take this part alone, when I have the perception that this is fair in the foul, so I'm counting three now, the perversion that there is fair in the foul, when I have the perception, that perception is called chetana, volition. That's number one. Okay, perception itself is chetana. Second, when I go to bab of lust, this I'm trying to explain the gatha called Chetiti Pakappeti Anusiti. One gatha in Nidana Sanyutta. So Buddha said, whenever we have these three, then the mind gets established. Chetiti, the volition. The Pakappeti is that when you go to the sensual desire and then the bab of lust, the flood of sensual desire and bab of lust. See, the next one we say form as a steadying point for consciousness. That means I am going back to the physical nutriment. I am wrapping back. You know, this food gave me this thing. I am going back to that one. So that is called pakapedi. I have the English term over here. I think asserting. They were using the word asserting. So that's the second thing. Now you can see at that time, much has happened, isn't it? The physical nutriment. Therefore, I got the mental volition regarding that one. When I have the perception that this is fair, I got the mental volition, one karma is done. When I have the pakapedi, or this asserting thing, then I am going back to the physical nutriment again, holding it. That's why we go into this upadana. Just by going through this one map, once you don't get to upadana.
Because then you give a value to that. And
give a value, repeat.
Yes.
Also, this what is this true now? Pakapedi means, does it like asserting?
Asserting.
Asserting, does that mean you create a picture in your mind?
Well, you are creating a picture again and again, and you have physical actions as well, because I am, let's say it's in the case of food, I am eating, keep on eating, happy to eat it again and again. So two things over there. There's a mental picture as well.
But that's natural.
Well, it's natural for us.
It's ignorance. But for the arahant, it's natural, yes. Because of the ignorance.
Yeah, for an arahant, they don't. So, that's the second one. Third one is that the tendency. Chetati, pakapeti, anusati. The tendency, you know, the tendency to attachment lies in the pleasurable feeling, tendency to aversion. What is this tendency? It is because, you see, starting with the physical nutriment, I went one round and coming back, right? But let's say, one would say, I don't want to be born in this world again. Because he has seen this birth and aging and that sort of thing. He would say, I don't want to go into this birth. I don't have any chetana. I don't want to be born. And he is not having this, because of that he is not making that, not going through this barb of lust, the ragasal. He is not going back to that one. He doesn't want to do that one. But still, there is this tendency. What is this tendency? In between what was there, the bodhitaya of covetousness, the other dhamma, think about this one as a starting point over here and the ending point over here, barb of lust, and maya actually now looping again and again. What is in between? Whatever thing in between, because I have used them, I'm happy with that one, that I have the tendency. So the tendency is, anusaya, is that you are holding to one of these, but you are still rejecting, I don't want to be born. You are rejecting that one. But, because, you know, even the never returner will be born again. They don't have this one, they don't want to cling to that one and coming back to that one. They have given up that. That thing is not strong enough for them. But still there is this, what I have eaten before, since I have tasted before, there is something, some sort of feeling, some perception, something remain over there, which that person did not get rid of.
That's the anusaya part.
Anusaya part.
In there and coming out.
Yeah, so that's the, if you are explaining the anusaya, that's the way to explain.
If there is a musical show or something like that, you try not to go there,
yeah,
because you want to control yourself.
That's right.
But if you hear a music sound, you get all these things back, even though you don't
like
go
that.
To that place.
Yes, yes. Because I have heard it before. You need to separate it with this, you know, that I usually do that sort of thing. I have done it before. It's not that my usual doing it's actually happening here. It is that, you know, purutta in Sinhala. It's not the purutta. I have done it once or twice or something, but now I'm saying I'm not going to do that. But there is inside these things. And that is, because of that, my mind, this nama rupa, will occur. There are two things in this vijnana sthiti. you know, the form as a steadying point for consciousness, there are two things in it. One thing is the titi because of the nutriment. So the four nutriments, for example, ahara titi. Right? There are four of them. Now, the other titi is that it's going back to that, consciousness going back to this thing because of the this pass in the middle. Although it's not going to the nutriment, I'm not going to the musical show, but I'm still happy to have those things. So those are the three things. Chetati, pakapeti, anusati. So these three things are leading to.
Three of them come between taste of sensual desire and product of sensual desire?
It could be between the physical nutriment and the barb of lust.
Anywhere.
Yeah, leave out the perversion that there is a fair in the foul because we counted that one as the chetana or the volition. So between the perversion that there is fair in the foul and the barb of lust, it could be anywhere. But Petagopadesa, for example, sort of talk about this after the bodhitaya of covetousness in the middle one. That it is so, it has a big value in looking at that way. Because you see that although we are running this thing circle again and again, coming from the physical nutriment to the barb of lust, and I'm going back to the physical nutriment, I'm repeating this one many times circling. And that's why upadana is happening. The clinging is happening because of that one. Because I'm repeating this one many times. I'm happy to do that one. It's just once, it's not good enough. So the upadana is holding it. So bodhitaya of covetousness, that means I am bound to this one. I need this food. I need this person. I need this look. Whatever thing it is, you make it up. So between the bodhitaya of covetousness and the taint of sensual desire, you can see that is this kamasro. Because of the bodhitaya of covetousness is not caught rid of by you, the anusaya is there. So that's the best place, and that's where it is actually explained in one place. It doesn't eliminate the other places, but that's the best place.
Vipallasa and chetanasya.
Vipallasa, there is a perception, right? In the vipallasa, the perversion that there is a fair in the foul is a perception. In that perception, the perception is volition. That perception is volition. There are three kind of such perceptions. One is, this is fair in the foul. It's a one perception. While it is displeasure, the painful, we say pleasure, is another perception. And while it is not self, we call it self, is another perception. Those three perceptions are itself the volition. It's explained in this this book. I can't remember.
What is the second answer? It's
a fear
in the
power,
self-pain, not self.
And the pleasure in the...
displeasure.
Yes.
Isn't it because all these things are happening because of the sixth sense, isn't it? The manasa.
Yeah.
Manasa.
Mind, yeah.
Yeah, mind, because of the mind, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because the mind is taking hold. The first you got the first thing, right? And when you get that one, it doesn't have the things like craving and all those things. If you eat, just eat, it's not there. But you are assigning a value to it.
The previous volitions, all the time the previous volitions come and play the bigger part.
Yes.
That's why you are going back to the previous one.
Once, yeah. You are repeating. You are repeating this one very heavily. So, so you can see that the upadhi, I'm only went through only one part because we are coming back to the same thing again in the next one to answer Bhante's question as well.
Attempt to subdue these states of mind due to vipallasa. Can it be one experiment? Observe right point.
Yes, satipatthana. Satipatthana, it's the to get rid of that one. You can see, if you want to get rid of the first one, kabalikara, ahara, nutriment, is that the those four things that we do in that diagram, that dukkha patipada, danda vinya, you know, those patipada has to be used. And to get rid of this, the second one is the four foundations of mindfulness. And for the upadana, the clinging is the dhyana. So, probably I will give this one to you one day, COVID, and yeah. So, this is the medicine for the whole thing. So, we will, because we should take this one little by little, so we'll go into the next one. Now, if there are any who ask, would there be the right contemplation of dualities in yet another way? They should be told, there would. How would that be? Whatever stress comes into play, in all from ignorance as requisite condition, avicca. This is one contemplation. From the remainderless fading and cessation of that very ignorance, there is no coming into play of stress. This is the second contemplation. So if someone rightly contemplating this duality, while either attain Nibbana, Aranship, or one would become a never return. And so this is what Buddha said. And then Buddha said further, those who journey the wandering on through birth and death again and again, in this state here or anywhere else, that destination is simply through ignorance. The ignorance is great delusion, whereby they have wandered a long, long time, while beings immersed in clear knowing don't go to further becoming. So Buddha said that the moha is the ignorance. Mohaya ma avidyave in Sinhala. And this one is very lengthy. Very lengthy in the sense, now we have to go through the whole 40. So instead of going through the whole 40, I will sort of jump in the mental volition part, and that will answer the Bhante's question as well. So, the mental volition as a nutriment, Manu Sanchetana, this is the third direction. Then there is this perversion that there is a self in the not-self, Anatteyatta, Vipallasa. So, there is this perception that come to arise. And because of that one, there is this view clinging. I cling into the view. I am holding something not mine as mine. And there's the bond of views, the yoga. I keep on holding to this. And there's this body tie of misapprehension. Paramasa kaya gamto. And then the taint of views, the flood of views, and the barb of views. And when we get the views, then when I have the barb of views, so ditti salla, then my perception as a steadying point of consciousness passing on. That means my consciousness will now get hold of the perception. What is perception? Perception is the one led to the volition. What perception? You can see in the first case, so we discussed the first part, where I have tasted some food, I am happy with that food. I am saying this is fair. I got a perception that becomes the volition. Right? That volition, now I'm saying this is pleasurable because I'm getting a pleasurable feeling. So I got another perception in from the second part. And that became because of the perception I got the volition. So I am, my consciousness now go and hold the perception, because the perception generates the volition. So you can see, again I am rotating over here. The same discussion we had before, those tendency and all those things are now happening over here. Three things. So what is those three things? You can see, whenever I have that there is self in the not self, that perception itself is a volition. And that was actually happening from the former volition, isn't it? So that's, you can see from the volition, is a condition for the volition. Hmm? It occurs from that one.
Even the Dhamma also happens like that, isn't it?
It is. So now that I am actually rotating again, this, I am turning this wheel again and again, holding the perception, and the anusaya is also there. Hmm? Avijja anusaya. Taint of ignorance. And then you can see the result is the going bad way through fear, the sickness, sorrow and union with what is displacing. Those are the three things that results from that.
How come the sickness become the result of this?
Sickness becomes?
The result of the...
Yes. The mental volition is also sickness itself. Remember in Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, Buddha said, Manyita. Manyita metam bhikkave rogato. That means if I think that I'm with a perception, I don't have the other things. Sanyi, asanyi, I don't have this perception. I'm in the space is infinite, consciousness is infinite. And I'm saying neither perception, na asanyi, neva sanyi. I don't have perception, no non-perception. So I put myself in all above other people. When you see someone arrogant, you say it's a sickness. That person is sick, very sick. And even a child would say, when you see a person who is so arrogant, one would say that's a sick person. Same thing. Buddha said, not for only these simple things, Buddha said, neither plane of neither perception, non-perception itself is a sickness. Right? It is a sickness to perceive.
You cannot get away with that.
Yeah, you will die, and then you'll be born as a, you know, the animal or the hell or something. So what's the value? I was telling I was such, and now I am here.
You know? So that's the same way that when you get to the jhana levels, in the first jhana and second jhana, that the preeti stage in the beginning, that's sort of a sickness because you cannot sometimes tolerate it, isn't it? It's for good, I know.
Yes.
But it's a discomfort sometimes.
Mm, mm, yes. Yeah, it is a discomfort. It's like a water flowing over here, it's happening for a long time, then it is a trouble. It is trouble. That's why you go into the third jhana, which you don't have that. You see, all these things are fine. Buddha said, go in. But do not think, I am a person who has attained this jhana concentration. I am big. Don't think of bigness about that one. Yes, it is there. This is a comfort is there. So therefore you use that one and then you attain the nibbana. And don't link to the result of that one and claiming yourself as I am a big guy. Now I have this jhana concentration. So it's a sickness. And it can be further explained in the sense that...
Is that why the Lord Buddha didn't encourage monks to do the iddhipada things?
No, that is this. He was asking, what's the point showing it to these people with white clothes in the sense that if they can't perform it, and why would you trouble them and doing that one? When you do that one, if you have that power and if you show it, and having seen that one, they will get only trouble out of it because they see how that person can do that one. I can't do it. Buddha teaches them, well, anybody who wants to get done, this is the path, you go and do it yourself rather than showing to that one. So this can be explained further because of the, you need to look at the diagram in these four columns, you need to put the four columns in one page. And when you put the four columns in one page, we are talking about over here, in the middle there's a perception, and there's the mental volition over here. And then you can see the perception is actually, I see, as we are the over here, that is this the sickness. What I perceive, I perceive the domanasa. I perceive the displeasure. Because what I had was this pain. Pain is actually coming over here. And then I got the displeasure. So my perception has the quality of displeasure. What do you think it is? If you have a quality of dispassion, it is a sickness itself. Right? So that is what it's over here. So this diagram, if you are making rightly, it should be in between. Although it is belong to this column, going like that. So just to explain what the Bhante asks as well, so we need to look at the fourth direction. So let's say now I have gone through the first path, the second path, and the third path. I have done it many, many times. What I construct out of this one is the sanskara, volitional formations, my verbal formations, you know, bad ones, musavada, the lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks, and slander. Those are the ones I'm creating from the words. From the mind, I might have this ill will, jealousy, you know, makkha, the derogation, and all those things. Those are the ones I constructed from the mind. So I, because of that one, I constructed the result of that one is, you know, jati, jara, vyadi, marana, those parts, the physical ones. Now, since the consciousness, the volitional formations are constructed, remember the Buddha said in the Kajjaniya Sutta, the volitional formation construct the form as form. It construct the feeling as feeling. It construct the perception as perception. The volitional formation and volitional formation and the consciousness as consciousness. It construct the whole package for us. So now you are going to the consciousness as nutriment, having constructed from the previous process. And therefore there is this perversion that there is permanence in the impermanence, anicca nicca. Because I can repeat it very quickly now. Those things that I was telling that I am going back to the, if it is form, I can go back to the form. I can keep on eating, I can keep on enjoying, right? And I can do it very, very rapidly. So my consciousness is generated very rapidly regarding the object. Again and again, I can't see the difference between this one and that one. The food that I ate a little while ago, the taste that I got, I get the similar taste. I reconstruct the same thing. I can't see the difference. Unless you eat something, you know, chili or something, you become different. So you can see that there is this, because of the rapidity, you see this permanent. And then you are happy. And you have this self-theory clinging, attavad upadana. Having pursued self from the previous third path, now I cling to that one. I'm clinging to my constructions. Basically, what I'm clinging to is my construction. And there's this bond of ignorance, avijja over. So now you can see avijja occurs because of this thing. So there are 12 things that actually contribute into this avijja. Those perversions, remember there were three perversions. Four perversions, and there is this perception, the thought, and the view regarding the same. So there are 12. So those 12 is actually becoming the ignorance here. And now there is this bodhicitta of insistence that this is truth. I'm saying that everything over here is truth. What I am saying as the truth? I have a physical object, a nutriment, food that I eat. I'm saying this is tasty. This is good. Isn't that we are telling the other people as well who come and eat and this is tasty and so on? So I'm saying musa over here. This is something foul nature. If you leave that food, you can see 7 days on a plate, stinky, and you will put it away. If you put inside your stomach, you can see. If you vomit, you can see what it is. And then in the morning, you can see with the excrement what nature it has got. But we were saying that this is good. So this is this. Isn't that the, again, this is the, we are insisting that this is the truth. A lie, we are saying it's the truth. So there is this taint of ignorance, and then the flood of ignorance, and then the barb of delusion. So that's how the delusion comes into play. So the answer is that we went through these three paths, and now we are in the consciousness. And then I created these things because of my wrong views. If I was saying that these things are bad, they are not mine, and you know they are disgusting, foul nature, and not self, and again it's impermanent, then I'm not telling any lie. So therefore I don't have the moha. So you can see it is linking that way. So that's the answer coming from. So you can see so much Dhamma to come into that one. Hmm?
For an example, for paripu curry, we say it is a paripu curry. Mm-hmm. But if we make it every day, it's all different thing, but we use the same name.
Yes.
So it's a delusion, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is a delusion. We put it with oil and, you know, it's a different way. Put spinach and, yes.
But this delusion is very much bigger than.
Really,
because that is the sound that our Jati creates,
because of this one, I am happy to go into the death. You see? For this, this is so big. So big that I am going bad way through delusion over here. Moha agati gamana. I am telling that this is good, this is truth, and so on. I am happy to repeat this process, going back again to the sanskara, volitional formation again. So I would generate kaya sanskara, the bodily ones. And one of the bodily ones is birth. And that is leading to aging, sickness, all those things. And I am happy to lie. I am happy to do the harsh speech, frivolous talks, slander, and my mental, all the bad ones, ill will, covetousness, isha, jealousy, and then the makko, the derogation, the palasa, all those things. I am happy to repeat, and I have to have the conceit as well that I am big, I am good, I am, I have these concentrations, I am such and such a person, all those things.
Yeah, but those are the things, even though this Dhamma is a big Dhamma, those are the things, everything that what you said now, are the things people think that they are the simple things. That's why they lie, because it's a simple thing that you...
Cannot
come in, but you are not sick.
Yes.
That's acceptance.
What you just said is the 16th Gatha here. If you look at carefully the 16th Gatha, the last one in this thing, Buddha very well put it on that one. You see, the Buddha said that these people do not see this one. So whatever thing that we are saying, when the noble ones are actually saying these are suffering, and the other people are saying this is good. And whatever the is the other way around as well. Whatever the Aryan says this is bliss, for others it is suffering. Look at the last one. We will come back to that one. The observation that you just made is said by the Buddha at the end. And I don't think we have time to go through the other one. So this will go for few weeks with those diagrams. It's important to go through that this way.
That's
great. Yes. Okay, we will stop for today.